Okay, welcome everyone for the weekly English Medium discussion. Today is Tuesday, April 19th. We have about 1 hour. We have already appointed topic in Sutta Nipata, Purabheda Sutta. Before going to the appointed topic, if anyone is having any other statements or any suggestion, we can take a few minutes and then we are going to take the appointed sutta.
Avasarai Bante, we have received 3 reports for today's Zoom session. Please allow me to present them.
Yes.
Dear Bante, I am 15 years old and have been meditating for 3 years. This is my experience. Please advise me. I went into my sitting meditation feeling stressed, so I found myself unable to focus on my breath. So instead, I watched the stress. At first, I was overwhelmed by it and it felt like it was everywhere. But as I kept watching it, the awareness of it grew. As the awareness grew, I became more and more detached from the feeling until the awareness was on nothing but the awareness itself. Teruvan Saranai. This is from Hasini. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Yeah, that understanding mind is not settled. Mind is not with anapana, it's a great discovery. Rather than understanding mind is very calm and quiet and mind is with anapana, I mean it's an ordinary skill. But understanding mind is not with anapana, mind is not settled, is an extraordinary ability. So therefore, you are stepping into the vast area and towards the end of your report, you say you are about learning how to manage such a situation. So, the healthy way of putting that is, next time when you go prepared for this disturbed mind, unfocused mind. It is nothing special. Only thing is that even if it is unfocused or even if it is not with anapana, the desired object, your knowledge, you know it is not with, is something to be appreciated. You have already started. Keep that in your mind and next time go prepared. We are moving to the next.
Dear Bante, I am 17 years old and this is my sitting experience. Please advise me. I started my sitting meditation and after doing walking meditation for 10 minutes. So when I closed my eyes, I already felt calm and grounded. After starting, I immediately felt this sort of comforting blanket fall over my mind as I became increasingly aware of my surroundings. However, whilst I felt calm, my attention focused on various elements such as the humming of the fan, thoughts, breath, and the posture. My focus kept quickly switching between these focus points, but I was able to see this switch. Slowly, my focus narrowed, just the humming of the fan and my breath. The sudden switch between the focus points didn't faze me and I stopped trying to control what I focused on as it was proved to be pointless. Sometime into the meditation, my thoughts became my main focal point. I found myself often indulging in these thoughts. However, I was aware that everything I was seeing was fake. As I kept watching my thoughts, I felt more and more disconnected from them. I was still engaging with them, but there was a barrier between my attention and the thought as I became increasingly aware of how everything I'm seeing is an illusion. I watched my thoughts like that until the end of my session. Teruvan Saranai, this is from Onaya. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
Yesterday also there was a question from the residential. This thing, whenever the mind understands the basic tenets of mindfulness, Slowly, it is welcoming one variable, two variables, three variables, like things are happening. So unskillful people consider this as a threat, unwanted thing, but at the time you can understand even with the few variables are there, still you are mindful. Either you can be with your sounds or be with your primary object, be with your totality or be with your one thing. So it's a well-accepted thing. Two extremes is one thing, you can be aware of everything. This is we call general mindfulness system approach. Or you can select one thing and advert your mind to that, and then you can understand others become fade off. And your focal point, you know. It may be your primary object, it may be a secondary object, whatever it may be. So these are the two things, the left brain and the right brain. So you are exercising. If you are not mindful, only one part is working, you become paralyzed. So you become directed. You are taken for a ride. So therefore, let the mind go at a time to the one focal point, maybe primary object, maybe other wandering mind, or sometimes the whole thing we call as a flux. So mind need a manipulation means often selecting one object and focus with the one object is as a skill of meditation. I say yes, but it is samatha meditation. But if you wish to be a samatha as well as vipassana mindfulness, at a time you let everything come in and just be aware what is happening in the flow. Of course, you have your primary object. Of course, you have your posture. But they become insignificant. They become just another guest. So likewise, these two situations, the system approach is more towards the day-to-day activities, and focal point with the one object is for the sitting meditation. So you have to understand both the skills. So Onaya is now sharing her views, how is the sounds, how is the posture, how is the breath, and how everything is accepted in the flow, at a time only with the sound, humming sound. That is not the primary object, but still you can be aware. So likewise, mind has two polar, bipolar, taking the system as such, or one pixel at a time. So these two has to be a very healthy balance, otherwise we will be taken for a ride. So our discussion, our meditation, our day-to-day activities must be in a balance. So that balance will happen. That balance will happen when you are following the same routine for long time. Otherwise, you are manipulating either to go to single object or the primary or to the system approach. So much so, self is there. I am doing. I am successful. I am not successful. But when they are happening by their own accord, we say things are happening. You are taking a step back and you become a distance observer. And then no tension, no frustration, because they are changing the mode to the single pixel, to the system approach, and that is how mind is evolving. Otherwise, you are biased, you are paralyzed. So, Onaya, please continue and write as much as possible, share with us. We are happy to listen, and hopefully you will advance.
I am Namanta Tandirige, writing from Sydney. I have been practicing mindfulness for over 22 months now. I can see myself observing soles of feet, arms, and other body parts in contact with my heart surface during daily activities. During walking practice, I tend to understand the left sole touching the floor. I tend to automatically compare the mindfulness information received in this movement against same information received in the past movements. The comparison adds an element of freshness to the process and keeps me energized moment to moment. I can see this process happening irrespective of whether I am having thoughts that are happy, sad or neutral, or even intense or not intense. A sense of body sensation and body posture happens in parallel with thoughts flowing through. I also note that sense of perception of objects is intense at times, and at times the mind blurs out this intensity and creates an immunity to thoughts and feelings. This is a cycle which is not in my control. Thanking Most Venerable Bhante and all those who contribute to such insightful training with metta, Namanta. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
The last sentence telling that it is not under my control is a very healthy statement. That means under control. If you know that something is not under control, means I would say it is under control. If you think something is under control, it's a bullshit. Because this control is a magical term. It's always misleading. Whenever you are, it is under control, your self is boosting. Your egotistic idea is boosting and you are in conceit. So when things are not under control but still you are practicing, I would say that you are, now you are in such an open situation and hardly you feel like writing these things. And writing and expressing in a team, in a meeting, in a discussion is a great advancement. That's what I also call world classics. Yeah, we are telling you, situation is not under control. Then what? I am telling you, situation is not under control. I am not worried. If anything under control means egotistic, conceit. So not under control, still you have not died. Still our hands and limbs and ears and eyes are intact. We know everything are not under control. So people, learned people are utterly mad. They wanted to take the situation under control. So egotistic idea, Mara, an organization, multi-billion companies are going to take the responsibility. Okay, don't worry, we will take everything under control. They are utterly satanic. When there is nothing under control, you are not there, you are utterly in the present moment, fully alert, fully vigilant, because not under control. So that is what the scouting means. That is what the prepared mind means. That is what the diligence means. That is what the appamada means. That is what the Buddha. Buddha said, that's the only single thing I found so helpful. You are alert. Not situation under control, you are just keep an eye. Vigilance, diligence. And that is the wakefulness. That's a Prabuddha. That is, you are awakened. But if you are situation and not under control, say, I have a bank account. Situation is not under control, I have a health account. Situation is under control, I am a legal advisor. Situation is not under control, I am a bank advisor. All are satanic. All are the agents of Satan. Mara. Mara Putta. Not under control, you like a butterfly. You move wherever you go because situation is not under control. I think present situation in Sri Lanka is the best for meditation. You foreigners, you don't feel. But I try not to feel. The situation is not under control. But last full moon day, the Kadwal is full, whole is filled. And day before yesterday, all children having a New Year ceremony. Their own organization, they put up a studio, a stage, a sound system, and games, and deciding, and distributing gifts and kind of in the heaven. No petrol, no food items, situation is bankrupt. The world news says Sri Lanka erased from the map. We are utterly enjoying. The situation is not under control. All the controlling people are the satanic part. So therefore any theory, any formula, any artificial intelligence is satanic. What artificial? You have the full-fledged intelligence present moment, so it is in full mobilized form, because situation is not under control. So Buddhism is flourishing. But the Dhamma is flourishing as far as the situation is not under control. But the thing is, you don't feel like such a thing, you don't feel like writing such a thing in a classic essay proudly because you think it is something wrong. You feel you are inferior, then you will not express. But once you express, you are connected with the world classics. Because all heroic, all heroes, they know nothing can go wrong. Everything happening is for your understanding, specifically when the things are not under control. So before age 6, for a young child, everything is not under control. So happiest mood, and they make fun for the parents also, because things are not under control. A fly can come and bite, or rain can kill you. situation is not under control. So you are the controlling person of the whole family because you are not under control. You know everything is, you can express everything is happening. So that is the way the enlightened person is controlling the world. He knows everything is not under control, so people take care about him. So then people is becoming emotionally intelligent about that person. He is not worried about not under control, but people are worried about not under control. We are worried about the person is not concerned about the control situation. So situation become very connected each other. So therefore, the only one sentence I am repeatedly talking, it's one extreme. So that is what is lacking. But that will give kind of a control because you are alert, you are very vigilant, you are diligent. Whenever situation is under control, you sleepy. You become lethargic. You become monotonous. So let the world run in a not under control situation, and you must know how to ride the wave. You must know be on the ball. So that is what my remarks are.
Thank you, Bhante. Really appreciate.
Okay, now we are moving to the traditional or pointed topic. I would like to invite Venerable Buddharakhita to proceed.
Okay, I hope that young person waits and listens a little bit, because today we're going to actually touch in the suttas, and you can hear from the Buddha himself discussing this very matter, not in the first verse, but in the second verse that we're going to deal with today. So again, I just want to give the background. We're dealing with the Purabeda Sutta, and this was a teaching where the Buddha formed a kind of a copy of himself to ask the question. So the Buddha is asking himself the question, and he's answering the questions then. And this is for the benefit of the devas and other like godlike beings. So you have to understand that these beings are very, very clever, very subtle, very talented, very well off. You know, they're in a very good condition. You know, they live in very pleasant circumstances. So in a way, the problem for these beings is that they're in a... It's hard to do better, you know. So the Buddha has to teach them the kind of flaw, in a way, of their existence. And he does this by giving himself as an exemplar. So now I'm going to go into the sixth sloka in this sutta. So he says here, not swept up by enjoyments and not swollen with arrogance, gentle, gifted with ingenuity, not credulous, not growing dispassionate. So again, this is very difficult in English to have a sentence that's all negative, not this, not that. I think another way, a way I look at this whenever I see this kind of language, is that I change the word from not to freedom from. So freedom from being swept up by enjoyment, and freedom from being swollen by arrogance, gentle, gifted with ingenuity, free from credulousness, which means a kind of a gullibility, or free from gullibility or naivety, and not growing, free from dispassion. So I know that sounds awkward, but it's just very difficult for us to, in English, to think in terms of not something as a freedom from, a liberty, actually. Like, so free from oppression is not being oppressed. Free from danger means not in danger. So in that way... It may be helpful to unlock the meaning of this sentence. But this construction is very common in with the Buddha. So I'll just repeat that sentence again as is translated here. not swept up by enjoyment, and not swollen with arrogance, gentle, gifted with ingenuity, not credulous, not growing dispassionate. So let me explain a little bit what I think about this. So not swept up by enjoyments. Again, you have to remember that these beings have the opportunity to really enjoy themselves. If you read in the suttas the descriptions of the kind of parties and music and performance and wonderful conditions that these beings exist in and live in, I mean, it's really something else. And I often sometimes meet meditators who aspire to be reborn into the heavenly realms. You know, they'd like a heavenly time. But the problem with this is that they get swept up by enjoyment. And so this is called hedonic pleasure. And in psychology, this is it's a definite cause of happiness. If you can have sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you can have a kind of a happiness. But the problem is that it's hedonic. In other words, there's a thing called hedonic treadmill. You get worn out. So you eat a slice of cake. It's New Year. It's delicious. A beautiful dessert. You have one slice of cake. Then you have two slices of cake because the first slice was so good. You have the second, the third, the fourth, the tenth slice of cake and you're getting sick, you know? And it's disgusting and you can't eat another bite of this beautiful cake. Well, what happened? It's this tendency for enjoyable things, pleasurable things to wear out in their... They don't cause happiness if repeated. So sometimes, like, if you ask yourself the question, I'm enjoying this thing once, but would I enjoy it 1,000 times? And if the answer is no, then you can see the trap in that enjoyable thing, that it's only good in small amounts. Then it doesn't have a very sustained type of happiness. So higher forms of happiness are not built on enjoyments. So not swept up by enjoyments and not swollen with arrogance. Again, if you're in a very good position in life, if you're living in a very good circumstance, there can be a great tendency to be arrogant. And you look down on people who are not in a good condition and you feel contempt towards their poor circumstances. And you kind of, so this looking down on is arrogant in nature. So again, you know, for people living overseas, you may be embarrassed that, oh, Sri Lanka is in a bad state right now, you know, and you want to protest and you want to get at the same time you feel like, oh, why does it have to be Sri Lanka's lot to be in a poor condition or something like that? But in a way, this is a kind of an arrogance and it's a disgust towards the poor condition of other beings. When instead of feeling arrogant towards beings in a less well-off condition, maybe we should try to develop compassion. So that's why compassion is one of the Brahma Vihara. Or we can have another appropriate, like an equanimity, you know, so go beings according to their karma. Or we can even find mudita in how people are dealing with a difficult situation or skillfully. Like maybe a lot of people use the word heroic around maybe the Ukrainians, even though they're fighting in a war and it's a very, very bad situation. So we can see that we should not be swollen in arrogance when we're in a good situation. Gentle, gifted with ingenuity. So again, to be gentle is because... again, if we're in a superior position, you know, we can be callous towards people who are in a difficulty. We can be harsh. So again, I like this Western psychologist John Gottman, who was talking a lot about in relationships, and he talks about anger and contempt and disgust and stonewalling as signs of a breakdown in a relationship. So when we're faced with people who are in a difficulty, we need to be gentle, gentle on ourselves and gentle towards the other person. You know, that we fail to see that that circumstances are often arising because of karma. You know, that that things are not within our control. And our natural tendency is to fight against a difficulty when gentleness will be a more successful route. So gifted with ingenuity, and this is another translator describes this as witty, to be witty. And I whenever I think about wisdom and insight into the nature of things, wit is part of that quality. You know, you see the funny aspect. So again, a mutual teacher of Mahatero and I, Godwin Samaranaratana, was once saying he had met a forest monk and he had asked him out of respect what was his perspective of the world. And this forest monk had said, the world is funny. He said, sometimes it's a tragicomedy, but nevertheless, it's funny. So I find myself whenever I can be deeply frustrated, or I can be deeply, you know, challenged, suffering by some aspect of the world. You know, like there are many great difficulties in the world, and it can be depressing. But when insight arises into the nature of the world, that, oh, that's just the way it is, and that I find a way to make peace with that difficulty, then I see how funny it is that I was holding on to something in my mind. And, you know, you find with people who are wise that they tend to be quite light and witty, and they don't carry the world and the burdens of the world heavily on their shoulders. They're not overly serious. There's a witty kind of a gift, really. It is a gifted quality that they can laugh off the worst of situations, not trivializing them, not diminishing them, not punching down or something like that, but just simply, you know, maybe it's a gallows humor at times, you know, but it is a wit. Then the next word phrase is not credulous. It's translated here as not credulous. Even I had to look this up in a way, meaning not... not blind in faith, not naive, not gullible. So again, I find with, you know, some people can look at monks as being kind of simple, as being kind of like foolish, you know, like we're naive, we're foolish, we don't know the ways of the world. Like what would I know as a, what would a monk know about the ways of the world? And they like to make jokes at our expense that we don't understand the way things are. We don't understand the difficulties of the world because we're cut off, or we're just sort of naive, we're credulous. But, you know, I find myself that as a monk, I meet people from the top to the bottom of society, you know, from the richest to the poorest, from the most powerful to the most powerless. And whereas I find most people in lay life are stratified, they're in their class, they're in their layer of society, and you know, they can be the ones who can be quite credulous, actually. And but it depends on the monk as well. Like if you want to be credulous, if you want to be naive, you can certainly be naive. You can pay no attention to what's going on in the world. But I feel like there's a certain level of wisdom where you know the ways of the world and you're not credulous. So the next one is not showing aversion, not growing in aversion, not growing dispassion. So in this way, the Buddha is talking about one can also be numbing. Not to avoid being, again, indifferent, cutting oneself off, indifferent, you know, callous to the ways of the world. Again, like this is the opposite to being, you know, this is another building on this idea of not credulous, you know, like this idea of numbing, especially I find common amongst men, that you know, they're not paying attention to things, or they're indifferent to things, or they're just like in my home country we have an animal called the badger, and the badger has this ability to barrel its way through troubles, you know. So if there's a crowd of people, like a badger will just go right through the crowd of people like a skit, you know, like a bowling ball, to badger your way through a crowd. And this is a kind of an indifference, a dispassion. So again, a wise person is not dispassionate towards the world in a way that's indifferent or callous or ignoring other people. They move in sympathy with what's going on. So this is just one of the verses. Perhaps Mahatero would like to translate it from Sinhalese and take it from that angle.
So as Venerable explained, the root cause or the background for the sutta is another Buddha, created Buddha, is asking question, katandasi katan silo upasantoti ucchati. With that kind of a view and with that kind of a moral restraint, must be a person should have for a person to be called as upashanta. He's a calm down person. He's asking what are the qualities of a calm down person, what kind of a views he should have, what kind of a moral restraint he should have. But this is asked by another Buddha. But the answer is very long. Now we are in the answer. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. First one is a question. And five answers. And so it's very trivial details. And so answer question is simple. With what kind of the views and what kind of a restraint he is worth calling a calm person. Answer is difficult because this whole teaching is given for good people. Good people are very arrogant. They are never listening to someone because they are also better off. So therefore you have to prove it in a very scientific way, religious way, reasoning. Otherwise, he will not listen. Even the long answers are not accepted. So, whenever you get something, you become arrogant. You become callous. You become not receiving. You lose the beginner's mind. You lose the simplicity, humbleness. So, therefore, teaching is very difficult. So, that is why the commentators say this is the teaching is for the God. They are simply lucky. Why should they listen to the Buddha? So, the Buddha is still asking, creating another Buddha as asking question. So, he make a chance to tell him, to express himself in detail, addressing to the God, but now we are not God, we are human. Now we are trying to understand why these things are so subtle. The last two things, asaddo, the known as na saddo na virajyati. Saddo is a very good quality, we say it's full of faith. But the Buddha here says no sadda. Virajyati is one thing Buddha is always asking, dispassion from the sensuous being. But this is not dispassionated. The opposite of. So it needs a long story to why the Buddha is emphasizing na saddha na virajyati. The saddha here in the Dhammapada also says, Buddha says, asaddo akatanyo. He is not believing something. And he is not thanksgiving. Because he is understood. He is believing what he experienced, not the what the Buddha says, what the God says, what the holy script says. No saddha. Because he is having his own base. And that is the point where you believe your practice. rather than what the teacher says, what the food says, what the karmic forces says, what the mind says, never mind, you keep on practicing. That means you find the solace, the release within. So here the Buddha is termed it as no saddha. He is not believing something because it is something verifiable. He has already verified certain amount, we'll say 33% or 50% verified. So he is believing what is verifiable. Then onward the journey is scientific. Journey is like an experiment, verifiability. Saddha become verifiable saddha. Only Buddhism you can find it. Otherwise, when you are talking about the holy script and the God, they are not human. It's something else. You are not supposed to criticize them. You are just follow from A to the Z. And no one achieved so far. But here it says, halfway, you give up all the scripts, all the Buddha, all the Dhamma, Sangha. You start to believe your own practice. Appear like arrogant. But Buddha is appreciating. Other thing is that the virajyati, dispassionate situation, he is not dispassionate about the dispassion. He is having some kind of enjoyment. He knows we need the basic things, and therefore he is not utterly self-torturing type. He knows for the practice you have to have basic needs. So it must be earned in the justifiable way. And he is treating his body, he is sleeping well, he is eating to maintain it and have a bath and kind of thing. Other people say that if you are practicing, that when we young people, as school going age, we once in a way take precepts, whole day, uposatha day, the schools are organizing. So we have a notion those days we must not take a bath because you are a religious person. Bathing is a worldly thing. Eating, not after 12. You must sit on the ground. So the posata is a kind of a frame. So when I become continuously observing eight precepts, then the master came and told, there's a nice water pool. Why don't you go and have a bath? After taking precepts, are you allowed to take a bath? Nilambe, we have a small water hole. Prepared and utterly sunny, and you can bathe. Such a beautiful thing. And after that you feel fresh. It is not luxury. It is not indulging. But you are not telling that you are self-mortification type. So I am from the beginning, I am not in the self-mortification type. So, but Nisarvana is a different story. Many of my ordained monks, they are self-torturing type. So I just keep them out. I say, it may be good for you, and there are some dutanga and all kinds, you can do it. But I know, to practice, you must have enough energy in the body. In the Mahasi Center, always they give meat, they give eggs, enough food. But you have to exert. So Mahasi Sadhu says, elderly people, when they come for practice and after a while they start reducing food. Ultimately they start giddiness, no sleep, and they say, I can't practice. Only 10 chat you have to pay for one day. 10 chat means not one-tenth of a cent. And 4 eggs for each meal, sometimes. And top food. Nominal rate you have to pay, but the Karaka Sabha, the Gopaka Sabha, the supportive lay people says people are coming here to eat something. But they have to pay only very little, and they Sayadaw says, never mind. They have to pay that nominal rate, they have to come and eat well, sleep well, bathe, and practice. No jokes, 14 hours a day. So Virajyati has a different meaning. You are treating your body just like the horse. You have to treat the horse, otherwise it can't pull the cart, bullock cart. So many people ill-treat it, but not that. That is why the 5 ascetics practicing before he became Buddha, he was not happy when the Buddha came to the middle path. They were very happy when he was exerting and we were so mortification and he can't walk and he can't eat and kind of, everyone was happy. 6 years he tortured himself. But whenever he comes to the middle, he says, oh, that guy is now about thinking about his own happiness and why should we attend him? We leave. So these part, Venerable Dhammika taught me as a layperson in 1978-79. And we people got together and put up the Nilambe, calling it a lay meditation center. Monks are not allowed, let alone teachers. Only lay people go with this, no ditti, we have no views, we just try to keep in the present moment. So it appears like irreligious. But these are the terms, yeah, the Buddha is appreciating it. No saddha, not much of a big belief, no such of self-mortification, but use utility value, and it is for the purpose, not for the religious practice. So that's the last two terms is, if I am to cite the recite the gatha, satyesu anasavi atimaneca no yuto sanhocha patibhanava na saddo na virajyati. Na saddo na virajyati means no faith as such, blind faith. No virajyati, not always self-mortification. You have to come between. And patibhana means your vocal capacity, your articulation capacity. When you are practicing, this is what happened. Don't decorate, don't story tell. Just tell what happened. No one can. Everyone thinks this must happen, this must not happen, so they are always editing their report. Patibhana is directly you can tell, I sit, it was a good sitting or bad sitting, this is what happened. You are just a commentator. You are not the cricket player, you are not the listener, you are giving commentaries. But it must be unbiased. Very difficult. Monks are always biased. They are mendicants. So they are kind of a sick people. They are going to live up to a role model. But Patibhana is not that. Patibhana is you are telling what it is. And very rarely there are monks entertaining their monkhood. They are telling what is happening. Not running a role model, they are not running a role play. But other monks are just in a role play, they are to lead the people, so think they are exemplifying. But ultimately they are robbing themselves. But it's very difficult. Very difficult. That is what I like Nisarnavane. So no one is influencing someone else's psychiatry. That basics are given. You practice, but don't disturb others. But we are not going to go in detail. But we invite everyone to come and sit in the same place. But kind of, but if it is not no harm. So the openness is there. So I never find anything such an openness in academic centers. They are utterly blindfolded, utterly with the blinkers. They don't allow you to look up and down, here and there, because that tunnel vision. Well, this is something, and that is the difference between the samatha and vipassana. Samatha is always with the premeditated idea, the it's always with the conceptual object, not the reality object. Conceptual object, and you try to absorb into that. I mean, it is good. It's also not materialistic kind of a pleasure, but it's a conditioning of the mind. But here, if in a conditioning, you say, yes, my mind was very absorbed into that particular object, I know it. But sometimes I know everything. It's like a system approach. Things are not under control, but I am riding the wave. But he can express it, articulate it. It may not be very successful according to the meditator's point of view, but that's a reality. So that patibhana is what we were practicing in Nilambe. There were no meditation systems. There were no meditation teachers. We just talk. So first time I saw foreigners are coming. And they are talking. I thought their questions are different from my problems. No. So when I'm listening, they're asking my question. And Godin is answering at last. Otherwise he won't talk. And then I found whoever may be asking the question, whether it's a Buddha or God or human, exactly the same. We feel humanity when you become Patibhana. Patibhana means you can articulate whatever you feel. Not in a love affair, not in a court case, but to your co-practitioners and to the teacher, and that is we call discussion, that is we call interviews and counseling, or we call free association. That's what the Patibhana. Well, Sigmund Freud says, if someone is expressing something, you have to listen it like a dumb, deaf person. So everyone misunderstands. How can you listen to the, he is coming and paying you for 1 hour so much and you are listening like a deaf? Eric Fromm only, after the listening to the Zen people, says, oh, that's the way the Buddha says, you must behave like a deaf. But you are listening everything. And Godwin, he says, people coming from all the countries and telling, I want to have an interview with Godwin. Yes, Godwin says, He never say yes, he never say no. So other person is healed. They are crying sometimes, laughing, and kind of God is saying, He don't know who is talking. That kind of a Patibhana was something odd for me at that time. Well, he's like a vegetable. Godwin is like vegetable. He's not giving any analysis, not giving any kind of this. But he say, He never get carried away by the other person's expression. So the free flow can happen, free association can happen. But we, when we are in the discussion, we always influence the other person. You must start with this one, middle this one, that end this one. Repeat it, just like a classroom or regimentation. So in Patibhana, no regimentation. We can talk to each other. So Patibhana is sometimes known as the wisdom. That's why it's called witty. And there's a sarcasm is there. Always it's a joke. You can crack a joke with any serious thing. So sometimes my behavior is very odd for Upandita Sayadaw because I crack jokes in front of him. Jnanaram was somewhat he can tolerate, but Upandita Sayadaw, sometimes he look outside. He's a very serious fellow, talking everything measured and kind. So sometimes when I having a chance with him alone, I crack jokes. I say, what the hell you are talking in this nonsense? I am a happy, jolly good person. Don't come and tell me, oh, this and rest. I can do it, but I am not prescribing someone. Don't prescribe me. So he never considered myself as a family member. Tam Panditara, I am a family member because I am a black sheep. But he knows I am very seriously meditating, having signed a connection, but not in the open area, in the common place. He just keep me in distance. Because he wanted to have that regimentation in all the life. But still he says in the meditation center, too pure. He don't say don't talk. He says talk to the short to the point. Talking accepted. Short to the point and short and sweet. He is having the element, but as a person, he is a role model. He is going to show, that is a Patibhana. And Sanhocha, that's a very soft. You are not taking weapons, you are not going to overcome others. Sanho, everything is with the aesthetic way. Any serious thing you can talk in an aesthetic way, or poetic way, or in a love spots. Any mistake, you can see a love spots. You can make it a point. Sanho, that is almost explaining the metta. Metta is known as sineha. It's like a grease. It's like oil. When the machine is working, if you put little oil or grease, the wear and tear will be less. And the machine will be less worn out. So likewise, you have to have sanha. And Buddha says, if the monks do not have mutual understanding and samagri, no meditation. Samagganan taposuko. That samagga means I have, we are fighting, but we know we both are Buddha's sons, coming from different areas, different parents, but we have to look from the love spots, the good part of the other person. And it says, Pollyanna, you must try to find a reason to be glad under any circumstances. Anything is giving some kind of a aesthetic value. It is giving some kind of a poetic value. And sometimes Buddha is making such a poetic expressions that appear like he's a disciplinarian. But so imbibed in sanha and poetic, unbelievable. So I find Venerable Jnanarama is hiding that part. Upandita Sahaja is hiding that part. He wants to appear like a masters or regimenting. But inside, they have the human nature, the laughing nature, but they are very shy to do it in the common places. I don't feel like that. Wherever I go, I just wanted to have friends, I have family members, not to keep a distance, but when the children having that New Year ceremony, they are singing, they are dancing, otherwise they are shy, but that day they are on day, and I can see their performance, because ground is open. So Buddha made that openness, all the other systems are closing. Premeditative ideas and rules and regulations and kind of thing. So no chance for this sineha, sanha, the softness, the adopting of the water, adopt according to the vessel that it is pouring. So more you become adamant, your adaptability is increasing. So this is a kind of a resilience. So nowadays meditation and the emotional intelligence is rather concerned how quickly you can recover. What is the resilience? And you people coming from different culture, different food and different geographical areas and coming and how quickly you can fit into this situation. It is not for any luxury, but for the meditation, many find difficult. So I was there in Burma 3 years and 9 months. All the others came very short. I sent maybe 50 people after that. They find it very difficult. So one doctor went there and she cracked. She can't live there. They also one demon or spirit come and disturb her in sleep. And then Sayadaw has mentioned only Dhammajiva can he can tolerate. All the others, only one cycle, 1 year cycle is enough. Too hot, too cold, or food patterns, and the diarrhea, everything happening. So if you have that adaptability, resilience, you can understand the Burmese people. They have huge tolerance capacity. But if they lose temper, mercenaries. But otherwise they have. So different countries have different things, but the sanna is a good quality where many people attribute to the Buddha. So many people see Buddha as a female. The way they are putting up the statues and everything, very, very, the feminine characteristics are put. But see, his characteristics are own animals. The jaw is like lion, and the hands are like a deer. Every attributions are animals. Very powerful. You can't imagine the way the statues are making and what the Buddha is happening. Because people like to attribute that sineha character, the sanha character, to the Buddha's teaching as well as for the... But this stanza itself is very harsh. No saddha, no viraga, and it's short to the point, very practical, very pragmatic. But these things are not generally reciting in day-to-day practices. We recite only for the saddha aspect. We need the viraga aspect and the sanha aspect. But here it says completely different way. So therefore, Sutta Nipasa is usually not in day-to-day, the commoners, popular things. Because there are some hidden things there, but lucky enough, they are written. You can't deny. You can't say it's a mistake. Because all the character attributed, as you mentioned, start with N. No. Na, 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 na. So appear like nihilistic. Appear like destructive. But free from that is the his interpretation, and that is the way we are going to put it into the palatable English language. English language do not like this kind of negative terms. Negative terms only you can express in Pali. The way, when the Jesus Christ tried to explain negativity in the Hebrew language, people misunderstood, nailed him, crucified him. So if you also talking these things into the positive thinking people, you will crucify. Definitely they will find, just like Socrates, drink this vessel of poison. They don't like. Well, they are arrogant, they are ironic. So this is the way the Buddha is telling. And Satyesu Anasavi, that all the kamaguna, that the desirable thing, basically is talking about the materialistic pleasure. Immaterial pleasure appreciated. So today whole technology is for the materialistic pleasure. That is for the to see good things and hear, smell, taste, touch, and sensuous pleasure. So it went extreme to the Sigmund Freud. He told sex. Every behavior is dependent on sex. Buddha says, no, every behavior is decided by sense, sensuous pleasure. He just diluted it. So therefore Sigmund Freud is criticized as a Jewish phenography. He's talking related to the sex. But the sensuous pleasure. But we are not. But we are entertaining higher pleasure without materialistic base. That is immaterial pleasure. And that is educationists can't understand. Economists can't understand. Politicians can't understand. Socialists can't understand. They are bloody fools. They are giving. I mean, you must have your basic needs. But what the hell we are doing? We have consumed few more generations yet to come. So whole country is in loan, in financial system and mortgage system. You are in utterly happy level, but how much your children has to pay? But therefore it is sati sanasi athimanecha yoto. Even if you have that kind of immaterial pleasure, a spiritual life, don't boast others. You are just a beggar. How can you boast? So you are going with the empty bowl, and people, if they give something, you are better off. Otherwise, you can't speak. So therefore, Atimana, no, but we are the best beggars on the earth because people give and worship. Other beggars, you don't give and worship? No. So that Atimana, no chance for the monks. But today monks are very arrogant. Very arrogant. Very difficult to approach because they don't have these qualities, because they are not mindful. So simply put, mindfulness makes you simple, mindful makes you innocent. Innocent is the simple term for all these terms. And we had that as we are children. And when we were children, we are very innocent, very powerful at the home. Everyone is looking for us because we have nothing. We are very vulnerable. We have no any protection. But we play hell. So again, when you're meditating, you become a beginner's mind and become very young, rejuvenated and resilient. And these are the terms. Any contradictions can happen in the rhetoric language, in the literature, and in the religious values. These things are a little contradictory. So, Sudhamso, that's all we have to do today, because only time is passing. So I would like to invite others. I have given my interpretation. He has given his. If you have anything to add into this, any ideas?
It's more a question, Bente. I would like to know what, when you're teaching meditation to very young children, or young children, 6, 7, 8, 9, what are they saying to you about their experience afterwards? A few examples you can share with us, maybe?
What they are telling. On return, they are very important. We are not telling much. We just say, close your eyes and just be and tell me what happened. So they don't know how to language. Language also problem. This is nothing, Bhante. We see nothing. Again, we have to say, okay, good. How long you can say? Few minutes I can say. Then what happened? Then I feel get up and go and jump. Why? Because I like something. And again I can see. So like that, they are expressing, but you have to get that out. You must be below children level. You must not just look from the nose. You have to go down and ask, hey, are you happy to walk? What? Yes. So how many steps? I don't know. Then I will put a rope down there. How many steps go on the rope? That is interesting. Then they fall off the rope. Then I say, can you walk with closed eyes on the rope? Kavudotana sadda karane. So they can do. And they are getting a step, more steps. And then I will say, what about backward walking on the rope? And backward walking with closed eyes. And ask them to walk along the half wall like that. They come with video films. They go home, practice it, and they say that walking is a jolly good thing. It is not meditation. I feel the touch of the rope. I feel off the rope. I feel the sandy ball, sandy ground, or the coir ropes. Or I can feel the cement. So they are so sharp when they are closed eyes. And with their expressing, you don't believe they love ourselves more than their parents, because parents never ask them. They are telling, don't do this, you have to do. Now when you come, I had a four-year-old, young, very shy girl. But there's a shallow water. Then I told, would you like to jump into the water? Me? Jumping? Ami? Can I? Immediately what she did was remove all clothes. And jump into that. Mother says, even if she is changing the clothes at home, she was shy. But today, completely removed, and go there and got the mud, apply everywhere, new type of soap. Then I told, this is not the magic place. I am going to go to the river. Going to come? Yes. She came for a boat ride, completely naked, put life jacket. And the way they are talking now, mothers and parents feel envious. They're so open. They are talking. They are telling you something. But very difficult to get out. So this expression, we have more than 20,000. What they have written, what they have indicated, sometimes poems, sometimes drawings. So we are publishing them as e-magazine. Electronic magazines, and some teachers, some Montessori teachers, some psychiatrists, they are expressing this is how the mind is working. So we are not limited to psychiatry, we are not limited to Montessori teaching, we are keeping the young children as the front line, and they are talking. And when they are talking, how the mothers are getting melted, parents, the teachers. So this is a kind of a new wave. So if you can come on 21st, we are going to have a camp in the rock caves. And they are not happy because there's one tiger in the forest. And I'm going to have 30 children and inside the rock caves. They have to clean the rock caves in the daytime and go there and have a fireplace. And there's a room also that senior monk, he was here. And he says he also going to give a big hall. Then I told, no game then. They're so happy. Parents are looking because we have no work with children license, unless otherwise the children, parents are there. And ultimately parents also become children-like. They come. So come and help us. 21st, 22nd. And Sarat will come. And each Monday we have 2 hours. And after 2 hours, they jump into the river. You know, grease poles, climbing on a grease pole. In English, Nivea, there is one game. We have an Arikana tree, and completely covered with grease. So we had to climb and take the flag out. So after that, we put the flag, the tree towards the river, the horizontal. You had to walk. It's a grease, and at the end of there's a flag. So whenever you are imbalanced, you fall into the river. All group came into at about 5 o'clock, and Dhamma Viharyama walked alone, and he took the rope, flag. So there's a whole family. And we are little fear of, therefore we are having some, how do you call, the lifeguard and life-saving jackets. So 2 days life-saving jacket, then they throw away and jump into the water. So only one crocodile in the river. In the forest, only one tiger is there. So we are waiting to give her one bite. You will go there, you will be the bite. For the tiger or for the crocodile. Okay, that's all. We don't have time.
Sorry,
So just for that girl in Sydney who was talking about her practice, I'll just give you the next verse, which we'll go into in detail next week, which was, yeah, she does not train for desire for gain, nor is she irritated over lack of gain, not hostile because of craving. She does not hanker other tastes. So we'll go into this next week, and you can hear more. Yeah.
Okay, so we are inviting young girls to come and participate in the discussion.
All right. Okay, thank you.
So, welcome. We are going to end the session.